Grade 4 Conference, Lecture 12. Here's some advice about your parent conferences. It's really good if you can have them twice a year. It may be that your school already has that set up so that you have a day or two for parent conferences in November. Many schools are doing this so that they can get out a preliminary report earlier in the year, and then that you have the opportunity to speak with parents in the mid or late spring. Now, of course, this is in addition to special meetings that you're inevitably going to have, especially in fourth grade, with the parents of the Hellraisers and the organizers of various social exclusionary methodologies and so on. You can expect all of that. And I hope that your school gives you time during the day to do this. I know economic difficulties often are forcing schools to force teachers to work all day long. And that means that you have to have the meetings after school, which is very hard on you. You already have your faculty meetings and all of your responsibilities. And also, sometimes teachers want to be very open and sympathetic to the parents and just say, well, whatever works best for you, let's meet in the evening if that's better. But remember, many employers will allow parents to leave the workplace for a meeting at school. They understand the teacher is a professional who has his or her hours. If you have a doctor's appointment or an important dental appointment or something like that, you will have it during the hours that that professional is working, or else you go to an emergency room. And the Waldorf school cannot be both the doctor's office and the emergency room. So be very careful about that. You are a professional. You have office hours, and parents are responsible for honoring that to the best of their ability. Now, here again, for those of you working in charter schools, you may have a number of parents from a different economic strata who will not be excused from work, who will not have the time to just zip over in their Land Rover or whatever to meet with you at any time you wish. There, you're going to have to work in a very different way. But whatever you need to do, try to meet with the parents in fourth grade twice during the year so you can really give them a sense of the tremendous changes that you will probably be observing in the course of the fourth grade year. Now, my next bit of advice is much more daunting, but I would say it can be incredibly helpful to you. Now, as I mentioned, I've taught fourth grade a lot. So the first time I taught it was my first time teaching grade four. But the next three times, of course, I had already taught it. And not only had I taught fourth grade, I had taught fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade as well. So I knew what was coming down the pike. And because the fourth grader is living in this state of future shock, because the astral body already is prefiguring so much of what is to come in the next months, years, decades, and so on, it's very important for us to have an idea of what the next grades are going to present in the way of challenges and triumphs to the child. So you have to, this year, in your conversations with parents and in your written reports, you've got to be able to wax a bit prophetic. You have to be able, like Odin, to look into those runes and see what's coming down the pike and know then what actions must be taken right now. And this, in and of itself, will help you with the fathers, will gain the confidence of the fathers if they feel that, like them, you're looking at the bigger picture. You're not just concerned with whether the child was happy 5 minutes ago and will be happy 5 minutes from now, but you're really looking at the course of that child's life, and to use that very meretricious word today, success. How can you do this without having taught it already? You make it your business, and I hope you've already been doing this out of sheer interest and colleagueship, but now you've got an ulterior motive as well. You visit the classrooms of those above you. You go to grade 5, 6, 7, 8. You get a feeling for what the students are like in those rooms, what's on the blackboard, look at their main lesson books. Don't just wait for a school exhibit to do that, but go and look at everybody's books, you know, not just the best artists, but the ones who are struggling as well. And talk with your colleagues about what it was like to move on from grade 4 to grade 5, from grade 5 to 6. What happened to the children who were doing so wonderfully in grade 4 and started to lose interest or started to struggle in grade 5? Why? What about grade 6? As you do this, you will get a feeling for how these descriptions, though they are very specific to the particular children in a particular class, you'll get a feeling for the universal qualities of these matters, and this will help you then say to the parents, you know, it's not unusual that a child who is struggling terribly with their drawing in grade 4 and can't take a step into giving more fullness to the figure or refuses to draw larger or gets very hung up on the point of the pencil, it's very possible that your child is not going to go much beyond grade 4 in her drawing, unless we do X, Y, and Z, unless I'm able to do this, or unless you'll help in this way or that way. If they can't really take fractions in stride, they are probably going to be struggling with the rest of the math curriculum for the next 3-4 years. You have to say things like this. People have to know that fourth grade marks the end of a certain phase of the child's learning where you can be a little bit more fluid and say, well, if they don't get it now, they'll get it in a year. You know, the usual way we speak about these things in the written reports. And you know that next year is not going to be such a rainbow's end anymore, nor will the year after that. It's really becoming more and more now. We have to make a change now. We have to see change in the child now. Not pressure, but just a recognition that there are certain windows open in grade 4 that are going to start to close, be shuttered, or disappear altogether. And you want the parents to be apprised of this. This is very, very important. And I'd say that in the conference, you know, don't just make nice. This year you have to be very forthright. Let the parents know where you feel the child has certain limits. Let the parents know where you may have certain limits and where somebody else may be called in, may be needed to help with all of this. I'll be speaking later on about learning disabilities and all of these issues as well, and how they rear their head in grade 4 in particular. But this is a time to be very open and very frank with parents about the future of the child. And just to give you an example of this, and I'm not telling you do this because this is wonderful, but just how these things work. by the last time I was teaching fourth grade, I felt pretty secure about what I could tell about the children in terms of the next years. And because my school, Green Meadow Waldorf School, a very fine school with very high academic standards, particularly in the high school, it had one among other shortcomings. And this was that in eighth grade was when many parents learned that their child would not be admitted to the Green Meadow Waldorf High School. Now, parents have to be forgiven for assuming all along, if they're shelling out their $100,000 over the eight grades, that they're certainly going to be having their child go into the high school, that it's all one big, we keep saying it's a 12-year education, it doesn't stop with grade eight, Waldorf is meant to be 12 years. In saying that, of course, we exclude the kindergarten years, but nonetheless, this is what they were hearing. And then they would be shocked at the very last minute, and suddenly they have to run all over the place finding the right high school for their child. Well, I was determined that that would not happen with my parents. So in fourth grade, in my spring meetings with parents and then in their reports, I began to tell parents, I think it is doubtful that your child is going to be able to go on to Green Meadows High School. I was telling them this 4 years in advance. At least they weren't going to be surprised. And of course, I would explain why and, you know, point out the various issues that a child might have had and why it's not to say, you know, they're good for nothing, but rather the particular culture of this particular high school would not really be the best atmosphere for your child. He needs more of this or she needs more of that. So, of course, parents were shaken by this, and I simply said, every year, I promise you, I will be revisiting this issue. I will be revising my predictions, of course, but I just want you to know that I have concern based on my experience about your child in this regard. Well, I wrote this about seven children in the class, seven out of 34, you know, pretty big proportion, 20% or so. Well, after I spoke to the parents, so they knew this was coming in their reports, you know, many of them were okay with it. The high school was not the least bit okay with it. They completely freaked out, as did the business office, and I had a long conversation with high school colleagues and so on about this kind of eighth grade surprise and how unfair that is, and that it sometimes does take a couple of years to find the right high school for your student. Waldorf kids don't thrive in every environment. Well, anyway, the years went by, and my revision did not really change very much. By seventh grade, early eighth grade, I told the parents, it's time to look somewhere else. Well, the high school would have none of this. And they just told the parents, you know, we have established a new care group, and Eugene doesn't know how much work we're doing with kids with special needs and so on and so forth. And they really, I would say, pulled one over on those parents. And many of those kids went on to the high school against my warnings and cautions. And I can tell you that not a single one of them made it beyond the end of 10th grade, because the high school was not ready for them, and they did not belong in the Green Meadow High School. And besides that, the circumstances of their leaving the class were often so volatile and so unpleasant and left such bitterness that other parents in the class, whose children were doing reasonably well or even very well, they left the high school as well. A group of 31 eighth grade graduates diminished to a group of 11 graduates from the high school. 20 kids were to leave the high school. And what did the high school teacher say? It was my fault because I planted the seeds of doubt in the parents. So have it your ways, guys. It's okay. But I'm just pointing this out, that you can actually see a lot in fourth grade, much more about the future than you can see in grade five, or to some extent even grade six. Grade four is like a lens, like a prism, like a magical sphere, a crystal ball of sorts, in which the child's future is prefigured. And I would say, look into that. See if you can experience that. It does not take any special innate capacities. It's there sometimes as clear as day. They're giving you an insight into where they will go and who they will be. And all we need to do is be awake to it and awaken the parents to it as well. All right, we'll talk next about the written report. I'll give you a little bit more about the parent conference as well. It's not just telling them which children won't go on to the high school. There are other things to talk about as well. And then we'll also look at the written report.